Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that, it also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5. Or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit Starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Yeah, it's another day, but what kind of day is it really? A day of doom scrolling? Laundry day? Nah, it's a White Claw day. Light and refreshing tasting, uniquely cold way filtered. There's an iconic flavor for everyone. So grab a pack, grab your friends. Make the most of each day with those who matter most. When you're together with White Claw, every day is a once in a lifetime experience. You just gotta grab it. White Claw. Grab life by the claw. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. White Claw seltzer works Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend, so as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of this weekend edition of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Friday, May 31st. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. We've got a lot of them today. We'll start it off with the bad news. Starting pitcher Alek Manoah was placed on the 15-day IL with a sprained right UCL. Manoah is headed for a second opinion on his right elbow this weekend, but the expectation is for him to miss an extended period of time. It's unclear who will replace Manoah in the rotation. Paolo Espino seems to be the most logical option, as he's the only starter with MLB experience on the 40-man roster at AAA. Starting pitcher Zach Gallen of the Diamondbacks was placed on the 15-day IL with a right hamstring strain. Gallen has reportedly been dealing with the injury since late April, and it resurfaced during his start this week, which forced him to leave that one early. He pitched well despite being hurt during the month of May and could be back in just 2 weeks if the injury heals properly. Slade Ciccone was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, and he'll take over Gallen's vacated spot in the rotation for the time being. Outfielder Lars Nootbaar of the Cardinals was placed on the 10-day IL with a left oblique strain. Nootbaar is expected to miss several weeks with the injury, which means Michael Ciani, Alec Burleson, Dylan Carlson, and Matt Carpenter will see more playing time in the outfield and at DH. And lastly, relief pitcher Lucas Erceg of the A's was placed on the 15-day IL with right forearm tightness. Erceg, the top setup option in Oakland, will miss at least the next 2 weeks with a concerning injury. Anything that's regarding your forearm or your elbow is always something that will cause people to worry. Austin Adams will step up to take over the 8th inning role until Erceg returns. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Christian Scott and third baseman Brett Beatty were both optioned to the minors on Friday. In a surprising move, the Mets capped off an eventful week by demoting two of their bright young players. It makes sense in Beatty's case, as he's yet to figure out the majors with an 88 WRC plus at the plate this year. Scott's demotion, though, was much more surprising, especially after he tossed five innings of two-run ball on Thursday to lower his ERA to 3.90 across his first five career starts. Nonetheless, both of them are gone. David Peterson and Tyler McGill will remain in the rotation with Scott out, while Mark Vientos takes over at the hot corner with Beatty in the minors. Outfielder Stephen Kwan was activated from the 10-day IL. Kwan missed nearly all of May with a hamstring injury, but will return to his everyday role at the top of the order and in left field for the Guardians. Estevan Florial was designated for assignment in a corresponding move as he continued to struggle with strikeouts at the big league level. First baseman Reese Hoskins was activated from the 10-day IL. Hoskins was out a little more than 2 weeks with a hamstring strain and returned to the lineup in a DH role on Friday. With Jake Bowers performing well at first base, Hoskins will DH against righties and will shift to first against lefties with Gary Sanchez taking over DH duties. And lastly, closing pitcher Evan Phillips of the Dodgers was activated from the 15-day IL. Phillips has also been dealing with a hamstring injury and hasn't pitched since early May. Phillips will rightfully reclaim the closer role in Hollywood until further notice. In terms of news, starting pitchers John Means and Tyler Wells are both set to undergo surgery on their pitching elbows to repair torn UCLs. Both pitchers are likely to miss all of 2025 as well as they recover from the significant surgeries. Outfielder Kerry Carpenter has a lumbar spine stress fracture. He was placed on the IL Wednesday with what was initially diagnosed as lumbar spine inflammation. However, Carpenter's more serious diagnosis suggests he's due to miss an extended period of time. Outfielder Tyler O'Neill received a cortisone shot for his injured knee and received a clean MRI revealing only inflammation on that knee. O'Neill is expected to be back when first eligible, which would be next weekend. Third baseman Jordan Westberg got hit by a pitch earlier this week, and he hasn't played since then. The team says Westberg's hand is improving, which suggests his return is imminent. Starting pitcher Dean Kramer will require a rehab stint as he recovers from a triceps injury. A return in June is possible for Kramer. Outfielder Luis Robert Jr. is on track to return on Tuesday. Robert has been out since early April with a hip injury and will be a huge boost to fantasy teams that retained him throughout his recovery process. And lastly, closing pitcher Jordan Romano is currently dealing with elbow soreness. That would explain his poor performance as of late and puts Romano's hold on the closer role in question. Go grab Yimi Garcia while you still can. And now we'll take a look at the notable performances from Friday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Sedan Rafaela versus the Tigers as he helped the Red Sox to a win, going 2-for-4 with 2 runs, a pair of home runs, and 5 runs batted in. He's up to 7 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 359 feet at 101 miles per hour, while the second one went 375 feet at 99.5 miles per hour. Rafaela has been halfway decent from a fantasy perspective this year with production in the power, speed, and run production departments. He's got 7 home runs and 7 steals with 33 RBIs. But to put it simply, his .211 batting average hurts. It can partly be blamed on an unlucky .252 BABIP, but his .212 expected batting average suggests he hasn't really been that unfortunate. Rafaela is ultra aggressive at the plate and doesn't impact the ball incredibly hard. His 0.13 walk to strikeout ratio is the lowest in all of baseball among qualified hitters, as the outfielder never walks and swings and misses too often to maintain a passable strikeout rate. Rafaela doesn't really make up for it when he does make contact, sporting below average marks in barrel rate and hard hit rate. All of this adds up to an inconsistent young player who has lots of maturing to do. At just 23 years old, Rafaela has plenty of time to figure things out at the plate and took a big step on Friday by recording his first multi-homer game of his career, though he's really only an option in 15-team leagues and deeper because of his low batting average that isn't likely to improve much over time. Jesus Sanchez helped the Marlins to a win versus the Rangers, going 3-for-3 with 2 runs, a home run, 2 doubles, 3 runs batted in, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 4 home runs on the year now. This one traveled 417 feet at 109.8 miles per hour. It was absolutely blasted. He also recorded the hardest hit ball of the day with his 114.5 mile per hour double in the fifth. Sanchez was once a top prospect for the Marlins, but he's failed to live up to expectations in 5 seasons in the big leagues. He's been a league average hitter throughout his career and hasn't made up for it with his speed or his defense in the corner outfield, though it's always felt like Sanchez has the tools to reach another level. Sanchez owns impressive batted ball metrics, but has failed to translate that into production on the field because of a penchant for strikeouts and ground balls. With over half of his batted balls ending up on the ground, Sanchez struggles to tap into his power. On top of that, the punchouts limit his batting average ceiling. Sanchez has seen a promising improvement in the latter department as he sports a career-low 20% strikeout rate this year, 8% lower than his career rate entering the year. That will help Sanchez attain batting averages closer to the league average and maybe above, and it's intriguing to see that he's already set a career high with 6 stolen bases. But Sanchez will have to make a change to his launch angle if he wants to truly become the player prospect evaluators and StatCast expect him to be. And lastly, we have Ty France as he helped the Mariners to win against the Angels, going a perfect 3-for-3 with a run, a home run, a double, 3 runs batted in, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 7 home runs on the year now, and this one traveled 417 feet at 108 miles per hour. France looked notably trim in spring training, and a lot was said about the work he put in at Driveline this offseason to overhaul his swing. The results, though, have been pedestrian, to say the least. France is once again a league average hitter, taken away from his viability in fantasy leagues because he doesn't produce elsewhere. The right-handed hitter has seen an improvement to his batted ball quality, which has allowed him to tap into more power. His 7 home runs thus far are already more than half of his total from last year. However, it's come at the cost of swing and miss. France is touting a strikeout rate north of 24%, a near 8-point increase from the past 3 seasons. He's no longer 12-team viable and is borderline in 15-teamers because his production at the plate doesn't have the impact fantasy managers in deeper leagues crave. France's everyday role on the Mariners is really the only reason he's still rostered in deeper leagues, and it's warranted, but he's just not somebody that has the ceiling of other players on the wire. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable hitting performances from Friday, make sure to check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Albert Suarez as he helped the Orioles to a win against the Rays. He took a no decision, tossing 5 innings, allowing 4 hits and 1 earned run while walking 2 with 5 strikeouts. He induced 10 whiffs with 23% CSW across 95 pitches. With multiple injuries to the Baltimore rotation, Suarez has returned to starting. After shutting out the White Sox for 4 frames in his last start, Suarez stretched out more on Friday and was able to take down the Rays with relative ease. Suarez induced multiple whiffs on all 4 of his pitches. His cutter led the way at 31% CSW as he was able to separate his arsenal around the zone effectively. The heater landed upstairs, the cutter glove side, the change arm side, and the curveball down. It's a recipe that can work, especially with Suarez firing mid-90s fastballs into the zone, and it's worked thus far as he has a 1.57 ERA across 34 and a third innings pitched. Suarez heads north of the border for his next outing, and while I'm not running to the wire to start him there, I think he should be able to pitch his way to a successful outing, and he should be a pitcher rostered in every 15-team league because of his increased chance of a win on the mighty Orioles. Michael Wacha did all he could for the Royals, but they lost to the Padres. He took a no decision, tossing 5 1/3 innings, allowing 5 hits and 2 earned runs. He walked 1 while striking out 2, inducing 4 whiffs with a 17% CSW across 78 pitches. Wacha was not at his best in this one, but he made it out alive. Well, sort of. He was forced to leave the game after taking a comebacker to his foot, but that's not the root of his lack of polish. None of his pitches were working, and the low whiff total tells the story of a man who got lucky on balls in play here. Wacha is a Toby, sporting a sub-20% strikeout rate, but he's found success recently via a Vargas rule. Across his last 5 starts, including Friday, Wacha has a 2.67 ERA. This can be blamed on good luck and Waka's ability to execute his pitches, and I don't really expect it to continue, but Waka can be trusted as a streamer against weak offenses and is clearly on a roll at the moment. So with Waka's next start coming against the Mariners, I think you're safe to roll the dice there. And lastly, we've got Jose Soriano as he took on the Mariners in Seattle. The Angels lost, but Soriano took a no decision, tossing 6 innings, allowing 7 hits and 4 earned runs. He walked 2 while striking out 3, inducing 10 whiffs with a 24% CSW across 98 pitches. I keep waiting for Soriano to have that breakout start that gets me hooked and has me picking him up everywhere. We thought it might come on Friday, but Soriano's command was all over the place as he couldn't find the zone with his high-octane heaters. The curve was the saving grace here, inducing 6 whiffs with 33% CSW, and that's sort of been his MO this year. Induce weak contact and grounders with his heavy sinker, and induce whiffs with his bender. The four-seamer arrives to give hitters a different look, and the splitter is used to neutralize lefties. but it's mainly sinker and curve from the right-hander. I think Soriano has the stuff to succeed with an arsenal akin to Jordan Hicks, though poor command of that repertoire has left Soriano on waiver wires everywhere. I think Soriano should be rostered universally in 15-team leagues, but his lack of strikeouts and wins makes him tough to roster in anything shallower. Soriano gets the Padres next time, and I think I'm holding off on that one. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Friday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of safe situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Raisel Iglesias worked around a run to secure his 14th save of the season. Robert Suarez needed just one out to record his 17th save of the year. Suarez is now sporting a 0.72 ERA through 25 innings pitched this year. Alexis Diaz allowed a run, but was still able to lock down his 11th save of the year. Jeff Hoffman pitched a perfect ninth for his 5th save. Jose Alvarado pitched the 8th in this one, and it's difficult to tell if this is a high-leverage reliever and setup man situation, or if it's a strict platoon between the pitchers. Or maybe manager Rob Thompson just flips a coin ahead of every game. A perfect ninth netted Craig Kimbrel his 13th save. Kimbrel has reeled off 7 2/3 consecutive perfect innings. Jalen Beeks recorded the final four outs of the game to rack up his 6th save of the year, and Beeks continues to be the Rockies' preferred ninth inning option. And lastly, Andrés Muñoz posted a scoreless ninth on his way to his 12th save of the season. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of safe situations or blow their saves, James McArthur blew his 4th save as he contributed 4 runs to a 9-run 8th inning outburst from the Padres. McArthur hadn't pitched in a week, so some rustiness was expected, and this is why teams employ maintenance outings. Hector Neris pitched the 9th with the Cubs trailing by 1. The Cubs might have tied it in the 9th if not for Neris surrendering a run in his lone inning of work. David Bednar pitched the 9th with the game tied, and he kept it that way. Jimmy Garcia also pitched the 9th with the game tied in that one, suggesting he'll be the team's preferred option while Jordan Romano is out. And lastly, Emmanuel Clase received a maintenance outing after having 4 days off in a row. Clase recorded all 3 of his outs in the 9th via the strikeout with a 6-run lead. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Friday, make sure to check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5. Or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit Starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
If your small business is booming, you might say,
cha-ching,
but you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there,
and we'll help your growing business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Do you ever watch TV and think, wow, I'm really good at this? You're right. With Rewards on Sling, watching 30 minutes of TV daily gives you chances to win up to $10,000 in cash and other monthly prizes. Sign up for Sling or stream for free with Sling Free Stream to get rewarded for watching TV. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/rewards to learn more and get started. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Visit sling.com/rewards/official-rules for more details.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
And now we'll look forward to Saturday, June 1st, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. Our matchup of the day is Justin Steele versus Hunter Green. We've got an interdivisional matchup, as Green is always fun to watch with his high-octane fastballs, and Steele could carve up the Reds lineup as he seems to have found the command of his arsenal after returning from the injured list. In terms of probable starters, we've got 11 guys in our auto starts tier, including Justin Steele. We've also got Chris Sale versus the A's, Yoshinobu Yamamoto versus the Rockies, and Kyle Bradish versus the Rays. Our probably starts tier has 6 guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Robert Gasser versus the White Sox. Gasser dominated in his last start and now gets a chance to display his best stuff against one of the worst offenses in baseball. I'd also keep an eye out for Mitchell Parker in Cleveland. Parker finally trusted his slider in his last start and it led to great success. We'll need one more outing of Parker deploying a 4-pitch mix to fully buy in, but now might be your chance to get in early. In terms of hitter suggestions, I'd go for Mets hitters against Slade Ciccone and his 6.12 ERA. Ciccone is making his return to the bigs, and the Mets lineup, especially lefties, should be able to take advantage of the right-hander. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. There's just one. Reed Garrett has pitched on back-to-back days and in 3 of the past 4, so expect Adam Ottavino to get the 9th today despite his recent struggles. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with PitcherList staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.